Picture the middle of the North Atlantic, 200 miles from the nearest coastline, 38,000 feet, a wide body full of people crossing from New York to London in the dark. For most of aviation history, nobody on the ground could actually see that airplane. Not on radar, not on a screen, the controllers responsible for it knew roughly where it was, the way a harbor master knows where a ship is, by math, by schedule, and by the crew calling in every 10 or 14 minutes to say, here's my position, here's my altitude, here's my estimate for the next fix. That's how we ran the busiest oceanic airspace on the planet for decades. Best guesses and radio reports over water where radar simply cannot reach. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about the technology that closed that gap. Not with more radar towers, with 66 satellites. Let's break this down. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones, first solo, private pilot, instrument-rated CFI, the whole journey. Beautifully made and built to last. If you want something with a little more weight than a logbook endorsement, that's AviationSoul.com. So let's start with the problem, because the problem is geometry. Radar is line of sight. A ground radar antenna sends out a pulse, it bounces off an airplane, it comes back. That works beautifully over land where you can build towers, it falls apart over oceans, over polar regions, over the middle of Africa, over big empty stretches of the world where there's nowhere to put an antenna and no reason anyone ever did. Roughly 70% of the Earth's surface has never had radar coverage. Never will. You cannot put a radar tower in the middle of the sea. Now, most of you know about the Automatic Dependent Surveillance Broadcast System, ADS-B. Because the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, mandated it, as of January 1st, 2020, if you fly in most controlled airspace in the United States, you need ADS-B out. Here's the quick version of how it works. Instead of the ground pinging the airplane, the airplane figures out its own position from GPS satellites, and then it broadcasts that position along with its identity, altitude, and velocity, once or twice a second, in the clear, for anyone to hear. The key word there is broadcast. Your airplane is shouting its GPS position into the air about twice a second on a frequency of 1090 MHz. We call that message the 1090 extended squitter. That's a genuinely elegant idea. The airplane already knows exactly where it is. So let the airplane tell everybody, instead of making a giant radar dish figure it out from the outside. But here's what most people miss about the original ADS-B design. It was still built around ground stations. The airplane broadcasts, and a receiver on the ground picks it up. Which means over the ocean you had the same old problem. The airplane is happily transmitting a perfect position twice a second, and there is nobody out there to hear it. The airplane is shouting into an empty room. So the question a group of engineers asked around 2012 was deceptively simple. If nobody on the ground can hear the airplane over the ocean, what if we put the receiver in space? That's the company Aireon. And the idea sounds obvious until you actually try to do it, because the physics fight you every step of the way. Let's talk about why. The ADS-B transmitter in your panel was designed to reach a ground station maybe 200 miles away or another airplane a few miles off your wing. It's a modest transmitter. Now you want a satellite to hear that same little signal from roughly 480 miles straight up, moving at 17,000 miles an hour. The signal that reaches orbit is faint, vanishingly faint, and it gets worse. On land, a ground station covers a small piece of sky, so it hears a manageable number of airplanes. A satellite 480 miles up looks down on an enormous footprint, hundreds of thousands of square miles at once. Every airplane in that huge circle is transmitting on the exact same 1090 MHz frequency, at the same time with no coordination whatsoever. The messages smash into each other. Engineers have a name for this. They call it garble, and they call the stray, overlapping replies FRUIT, which stands for False Replies Unsynchronized in Time. Charming acronym. Real problem. So from orbit, you're trying to pull thousands of faint, overlapping, colliding 1 second messages out of the noise, sort out which fragment belongs to which airplane, and do it reliably enough that an air traffic controller will bet human lives on the answer. The data tells an interesting story about how they pulled it off. The answer was to not build a separate fleet of satellites at all. There was already a constellation being rebuilt. Iridium. You may know the name from satellite phones. Iridium Next was a full replacement of their network, 66 operational satellites in low Earth orbit, plus spares, arranged in six orbital planes at about 480 miles up, cross-linked. So they talk to each other and hand data around the globe. Ariane put an ADS-B receiver on every single one of those satellites as a hosted payload. A passenger, essentially, riding along on somebody else's constellation. That is a very smart piece of systems engineering, because the crushing cost of a satellite network is the satellites and the launches. Iridium was already paying for those. SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets flew them up in batches between 2017 and 2019. And because it's 66 satellites cross-linked in low Earth orbit, the coverage isn't a patch here and a patch there. It's the whole planet, pole to pole, every ocean, all at once, in real time. By 2019, the system was live and feeding real air traffic control. Now here's where it stops being a science project and starts mattering to how airplanes actually get separated. Let me give you the number that made everybody sit up. Out over the North Atlantic, where more than 1,000 flights a day cross between North America and Europe, the separation standard was built for a world with no surveillance. Airplanes were kept far apart because controllers genuinely could not see them. Laterally, you're talking separation measured in tens of nautical miles, longitudinally separation measured in minutes of flying time, because that's all a position report every 10 or 14 minutes can safely support. That's why the North Atlantic runs on those famous organized tracks, a set of parallel highways in the sky that shift every day with the winds. It's an ingenious system, but it exists partly because you're rationing scarce airspace with big safety buffers. With space-based ADS-B, Nav Canada, and NATS, the United Kingdom's air navigation provider, started trials that pushed that longitudinal separation down dramatically. In testing, they demonstrated separation as tight as 14 nautical miles between airplanes on the same track over the open ocean. Down from the old standards that were multiples of that, think about what that buys you. Tighter separation means more airplanes can fly the optimum altitude and the optimum track, the ones with the best winds and the best fuel burn, instead of being bumped up or down or off their preferred route because the slot was taken. That's real fuel saved. That's real emissions cut. And it's a real safety improvement, because now the controller can actually see a conflict developing instead of computing it from stale radio reports. That is the promise, and it's not vaporware. It's flying today. Nav Canada is both a customer and a major investor. So are several European providers. This is operational infrastructure now. Not a pitch deck, but I told you at the top I'd be balanced. And here's where I have to be honest about the limits. Because this technology gets oversold. The first and biggest caveat, space-based ADS-B only works if the airplane is transmitting. The satellite is a receiver. It is completely passive. If an airplane's transponder is off, or the ADS-B out is failed, or somebody deliberately switches it off, the satellite sees nothing. It cannot ping a silent airplane the way radar can bounce a pulse off aluminum, whether the crew likes it or not. A lot of people connected this technology to Malaysia Airlines Flight 370, the airplane that vanished over the Indian Ocean in 2014. And it's fair to say that tragedy lit a fire under the whole idea of global tracking. But we have to be precise. If a transponder is switched off, space-based ADS-B would not, by itself, have tracked that airplane either. It closes the coverage gap. It does not close the somebody turned it off gap. Those are different problems, and the surveillance community is still working the second one, with things like autonomous distress tracking that can't be casually disabled from the cockpit. Second, caveat. The whole thing rests on GPS. ADS-B is only as honest as the position source feeding it. In a world where we're seeing more GPS jamming and spoofing, especially near conflict zones, a system built on broadcasting your GPS position has a real vulnerability. Feed an airplane a fake position, and it will confidently broadcast that fake position to a satellite that will faithfully relay it. Garbage in, garbage in orbit, garbage on the controller's screen. Third, there's a strategic question that has nothing to do with engineering. One private company now operates the primary space-based surveillance layer for a huge share of the world's oceanic airspace. Countries are, understandably, a little uneasy about depending on a single commercial constellation for something this fundamental. That's not a knock on the technology. It's just the reality of critical infrastructure ending up in private hands, and it's part of why you see national providers buying equity stakes rather than just paying subscription fees. And fourth, the honest timeline note. The oceanic separation gains are real, but they roll out carefully. Aviation does not flip a switch and cut separation minima overnight. Every reduction goes through years of safety analysis, because the failure mode of getting it wrong is two airplanes at the same point in the same empty sky. So this is arriving the way real aviation change always arrives slowly, deliberately, and with a paper trail. Here's what I keep coming back to as an engineer. For 100 years, the fundamental limit on air traffic control was, can I see the airplane? And the answer over most of the planet was no. We built the entire architecture of oceanic flight around that. No. The tracks, the huge buffers the position reports read out loud over crackling high-frequency radio like it's 1950, and then the fix when it finally came didn't come from a better radar. It came from turning the whole problem inside out. Let the airplane report itself and go put the listener in orbit. 66 of them. That's the pattern I love in this business. The hard problems usually don't get solved by doing the old thing better. They get solved when somebody changes where they're standing, in this case, 480 miles straight up. For the details on the North Atlantic separation trials, I'm leaning on the published work from NAV Canada and NATS, along with Iridium and Aireon's own technical documentation and the FAA's guidance on the ADS-B mandate. If you want to go deeper on any of this or catch a segment you missed, everything lives at radiohangar.com. Next time you're up high and clear and you hear a controller working traffic you cannot possibly see, remember there's a decent chance the airplane telling on itself is being heard by something in orbit. That's a good thing to think about at altitude. This is Vector. Fly smart, and I'll see you on the next one.